That's coming up. We've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland. We'll talk with them about the latest on Iran, North Korea, and that's all on the way right here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. 105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk. News now.
WMAL News at 7, I'm Heather Curtis. A second earthquake in as many days rocks Southern California. Last night's 7.1 magnitude quake in Ridgecrest is the largest in Southern California in 20 years and comes after a 6.4 magnitude one on the 4th of July. This man was in his trailer last night during the quake.
I kind of had a picture frame and stuff of that new thing fall on me and stuff and shatter my whole entire jaw right here. And I had got cut. I was bleeding and stuff. I was like, you know what? No. We're getting out and stuff like that. And then my whole trailer was literally rocking. I thought it was going to tip over.
No reports of deaths at this time, but others were injured, buildings cracked, roads broken, and fires burned. There were a number of aftershocks. The governors declared a state of emergency. Several far-right groups will be holding demonstrations downtown today.
The self-proclaimed Western chauvinist Proud Boys will host the Demand Free Speech Freedom Rally at Freedom Plaza at noon. Speakers include anti-Muslim activist Laura Loomer and alt-right personality Milo Yiannopoulos. There will be counter-protesters as well, but don't expect another Charlottesville. Mike Litterst with the National Park Service.
If you look back to last summer's Unite the Right rally, there was a lot of worry about that, and nothing came of it. We've managed these sorts of events before, and we're ready for what may happen.
The permit's for 1,000 participants, but organizers have rented just one toilet. So plan ahead. John Matthews on WMAL and WMAL.com.
Among the counter-protesters, the anti-fascist group Antifa. That group will be holding a Stop the Alt-Right rally. The Proud Boys and Antifa had violent confrontations in Portland, Oregon last weekend that injured some police officers and others, including a journalist. If you're heading to the beach today, you may have thought it would be smooth sailing with so many people already there. AAA Mid-Atlantic's John Townsend says one of the worst times to travel this weekend is starting at 11:15 this morning, heading eastbound on Route 50. Why?
They are the ones who have probably booked their rentals in Ocean City and the Delaware beaches for the weekend, or for the whole week, actually. And the rental time and rental periods began on Saturday and end on Saturday.
The worst day of the long holiday weekend to drive is tomorrow. The U.S. is preparing to play the Netherlands in the final of the 2019 Women's World Cup tomorrow.
The USA came into the tournament as most people's favorites, both in the United States and internationally, and they're the overwhelming favorites to beat the Netherlands and retain the trophy. Allie Krieger of Team USA says, though, it won't be easy.
You're here playing against the best of the best teams in the world, obviously against the European champions. It will be a battle, but we're so prepared, and we just have to mentally just be focused and keep doing what we've been doing this entire tournament.
The Americans have won all of their matches this World Cup. On the other side, the Netherlands are playing in their first ever Women's World Cup final, becoming the eighth different country to play in a final and the fourth European nation. I'm TJ Coutini.
In other sports news, the Nats fell to the Royals 7-4. The O's topped the Jays 7-1. And the Clippers will be landing Kawhi Leonard as a free agent after they acquire Paul George from the Thunder in a massive trade for players and draft picks. WMAL traffic and weather next.
Brew at the Zoo is back, and this year, it's a prehistoric party. Join WMAL Thursday, July 18th at the Smithsonian's National Zoo for unlimited tastings from nearly 70 breweries, live music, lawn games, and dinosaurs stomping around the park. Enter to win tickets, plus purchase discounted tickets, a special deal for WMAL listeners at WMAL.com/contests. Brew at the Zoo, Thursday, July 18th at the Smithsonian's National Zoo. Learn more, WMAL.com/contests.
Donald Trump has declared war against the Federal Reserve. The winner will determine the outcome of the world's economy. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the author of the national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. Trump has called the Federal Reserve crazy, his number one enemy, and believes they've blown a massive asset bubble that their rising rates will pop. Trump knows he must beat the Fed to the punch before they cause another financial collapse. He'll do this by monetizing gold. His brilliant plan will cause the price of gold to double overnight. I lay it all out in my in-depth report, The Mar-a-Lago Accord. To get this report and a free copy of my best-selling book, text the words Trump Gold to 49776. That's Trump Gold to 49776. The U.S. owns more gold than every nation in the world. Trump's about to use that gold to make America great again. Text Trump Gold to 49776. That's Trump Gold to 49776. If you have an IRA or 401k, you absolutely need to see this. Text Trump Gold to 49776.
705 WMAL traffic and weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Virginia, there's still an accident to watch out for on 95 northbound between Route 17 Warrenton Road and Centerport Parkway in the left lane, but that not really causing a delay. Continuing on 95 heading northbound looks good from Lorton heading towards Springfield and 395. No delays headed to and across the 14th Street Bridge. On 66, watch for some road work east and westbound in the Centerville area between 234 and Route 29. Reported to be in the left lane. No problems traveling on the Beltway in Maryland or on 270 from Gaithersburg to the Beltway. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, scattered thunderstorms this afternoon and evening could lead to isolated instances of flooding and damaging wind gusts, a high in the low 90s. Right now, 78 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
How would you like to put an extra $10,000 to $15,000 in your pocket every single month? Hi, I'm Nick Vertucci, and not that long ago, I was a first responder struggling to make ends meet, and I was in major debt with a wife and three girls to feed. Then I developed my flipping houses formula, and now I'm financially free. As a first responder, I protected countless lives, and now I protect financial lives, and I want to help you too. For a limited time, I'd like to give anyone that calls a free copy of my house flipping 101 kit. In this kit, I'll show you how to flip one house in the D.C. area. With my proven formula, you won't need cash or credit. You'll just need access to my massive network of real estate investors looking to invest.
Call 800-578-1084 to get your kit, and Nick will give you two free tickets to his upcoming event. Call 800-578-1084 now, and he'll personally teach you his formula for flipping with profits. Call 800-578-1084 right now for free tickets and a copy of Nick's House Flipping 101 kit. Call 800-578-1084. That's 800-578-1084 now.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM, WMAL. This is the Saturday morning update. It's the 4th of July holiday weekend for 2019. It's great to have you with us, and it's always great to be joined by John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. And John, you spent July 5th at the White House.
I certainly did. I was there at 10 o'clock yesterday morning, Friday, July 5th, to see the president keep the White House correspondence that he holds in minimum high regard, waiting about 40 minutes before he came over, and he took several questions at that point. And as we struggled with the 90-plus degree heat, he answered questions on everything from whether President Obama himself pursued a meeting with Kim Jong-un in North Korea, to the new jobs report, which shows the economy is surging, and, of course, his piece de resistance of the night before the Independence Day celebration. He had a good time going back and forth with us yesterday.
You witnessed the president's Independence Day celebration at the Lincoln Memorial. Wanted to have you put it in perspective for us. There was so much advanced criticism that this was a militarization of the Independence Day celebration. Of course, it was an ego trip for Donald Trump. It was all about Donald Trump. It was going to be a political rally. I could go on for another couple hours about all the different things that were said in advance, but now that it is history, how do you put it in perspective with some of the other commemorations that presidents have done over the years?
Well, let me put it this way. If you look back at 1942 and the 4th of July parade in Washington, America was just beginning to arm and stop using Browning automatic rifles for more modern musketry against Germany and Japan. In addition, new tanks were being turned out by the automotive companies that stopped making Fords and Chryslers and devoted themselves to the war effort. All of this was on display on Pennsylvania Avenue, I might add, with a larger-than-life profile of our Commander-in-Chief, Franklin D. Roosevelt. President Trump, to his credit, did not have his image on the march or in the display of air power that we saw with Air Force One and the Blue Angels. And in fact, his 47-minute speech, albeit with a few glitches in it, focused just on military history and in praising America's fighting forces in the war over the years. Not even a little rain could dampen the spirit that was out there. And while the Washington, D.C. police does not give crowd count because it doesn't want to be mixed up in disputes over these things, one saw the picture of people on the mall and one saw the picture of people along the bridges, and it sure seemed pretty crowded to me. Let's put it this way. Not many people were moving when it was all over and it was done. My own guess is this. If Barack Obama had decided to pursue a military-style celebration and perhaps honor his grandfather who fought in Patton's armies, a lot of the people who criticized the events on the 4th of July would have said, that's brilliant. I might add this. It wouldn't surprise me if future presidents revive the same tradition.
Well, we do recall Eisenhower had tanks and more than two rolling down Pennsylvania Avenue, and President Kennedy actually had missiles on trucks in a parade.
That would have been very timely because, of course, Kennedy was always trying to impress and one-up Nikita Khrushchev, who always had missiles and tanks in the parades in Red Square. So I would have to say it really was nothing new except Donald Trump did it.
You mentioned glitches in his speech, and at the press gaggle as he aboarded Marine One to head up to Bedminster on Friday, he mentioned that the teleprompter failed.
Yes, he did, but again, when the teleprompter failed and he tried to wing it, the president talked about Washington and his men in the revolution seizing the towns and then seizing the airports. Last time I checked, there were no airports around in 1776, but it was a minor glitch, and it was something he laughed at. He blamed it on a teleprompter. Now, of course, this is the same candidate for president who once said that candidates for the highest office should be banned from using teleprompters so you could say what they really knew. Well, he really knew how to improvise. Up to a point.
One other thing he mentioned yesterday at the press gaggle, he was asked about the mystery around the cancellation of Vice President Pence's trip to New Hampshire at the very last minute earlier in the week. And it's sort of been an ongoing mystery, and another chapter was added on Friday.
It certainly was. We were initially told in reports from a Boston television station on Tuesday that the vice president's plane, Air Force Two, had turned around in midair and was heading back to Andrews Air Force Base. It turned out that was not true, and the vice president arrived at the airport, but Air Force Two was grounded. It never got off the ground. He simply canceled a trip to a conference in Salem, New Hampshire, in which the subject of opiate addiction was going to be discussed. Now the rumor started. There was talk of a national security crisis, that the president had decided to launch a missile attack against Iran, and he wanted his number two man with him when this happened. None of that proved true. When the president talked to reporters on Friday, he said we'd know in a week or so, echoing the vice president's chief of staff, Mark Short. He did shed some light on the problem that it was a problem that originated in New Hampshire, not Washington, and this has led to speculation that there were people who could not pass drug tests who were trying to get into the event with the vice president. We'll find out in a week, I guess.
Again, that is speculation.
It certainly is. And I've heard all kinds of stories, from a national security matter of highest concern to the fact the vice president left the stove on me when he left his home.
So what's up next with Justin Amash? We'll get that next. Stay with us on WMAL. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, there's still an accident to watch out for on 95 northbound between Route 17 Warrenton Road and Centerport Parkway in the left lane, but that not really causing a delay. Continuing on 95 heading northbound looks good from Lorton heading towards Springfield and 395. No delays headed to and across the 14th Street Bridge. On 66, watch for some road work east and westbound in the Centerville area between 234 and Route 29. Reported to be in the left lane. No problems traveling on the Beltway in Maryland or on 270 from Gaithersburg to the Beltway. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Looks like afternoon thunderstorms, high of 91 today. Scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, high 85. For Monday, cloudy morning, and then by afternoon we'll have some sunshine, up to 84. Sunny on Tuesday, high 87, and clouds on Wednesday, high of 89. 76 right now, we're going up to 91, 716 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday morning update continues on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi's with us. He's the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Representative Justin Amash of Michigan formerly had an R next to his last name. Now he's got an I.
Mm-hmm. Independent. Justin Amash used July 4th to declare his own independence from the Republican Party. He, of course, is the only Republican member of Congress who said the House should consider and explore impeachment proceedings against the president. He wants special counsel Robert Mueller to testify before Congress. And he's generally been an irritant to the president. The president, by the way, responded that his exodus from the Republican Party was great news, and he thought he was one of the dumbest members of Congress. That's his words, not mine. Justin Amash is someone who is, in his own eyes, the lineal heir to Ron Paul as the voice of libertarianism in Congress. It will be interesting to see if, as a newly unbranded Republican, he finally embraces the party whose philosophy he has championed, the Libertarian Party, and becomes its nominee for president in 2020. Now, of course, we've seen former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, former Georgia Congressman Bob Barr, and others, usually Republican expats, who carry the Libertarian banner. There's also talk of Libertarians in Michigan that his running mate should be Democratic Representative Tulsi Gabbard. You've seen her in one of the Democratic debates, I'm sure. She champions the idea of non-interventionism, and that's a key Libertarian plank in its platform. Ron Paul, for that reason, endorsed Democrat Gabbard for president. An Amash Gabbard ticket. Well, I can say one thing. If you've seen one Libertarian ticket, you haven't seen them all.
So, John, Stephanie Grisham, of course, the new White House press secretary, I would have assumed her first few days on the job, she would have been roughed up figuratively, but I was not expecting her to be roughed up physically by North Korean security guards around Kim Jong-un at the DMZ last weekend. Wow.
It certainly was an experience, and in the end, while it's not an experience any press secretary would wish to undergo, Stephanie Grisham came out a heroine. She bravely guided the members of the White House press corps on the trip to the DMZ, right to the room President Trump and the North Korean strongman Kim Jong-un were meeting privately. She wanted them in position to take photographs and possibly shout questions. The North Korean military and security forces had other ideas, and they told them to stop. Stephanie would not back off, and she was in turn roughed up and bruised. In the process, she did her utmost to protect the people who cover the President of the United States. And it was heartwarming, if not astounding, to see her biggest praise coming from April Ryan of the National Urban Radio Network, a frequent antagonist of Donald Trump's spokespeople, saying she sympathized with Stephanie Grisham. And are you ready for this, folks? Jim Acosta of CNN said she's off to a good start as press secretary.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. As always, John, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend.
Well, I'm going to try and stay cool over this holiday weekend, but in the process, let us remember fondly Lee Iacocca, the old boss of Chrysler, whose famous saying is still remembered to this day, if you've got a better car, buy it.
John Gizzi. We're at 7:20 Saturday morning update on WMAO. Latest on Joe Biden trying to dig himself out of the hole he's in. That's next.
Are you an overthinker? Hi, Rick Edelman here, host of the Rick Edelman Show right here every weekend. In 3 decades of serving folks like you here at Edelman Financial Engines, we've met a lot of folks who were trapped because they were overthinking their financial decisions. We get it. This can be scary stuff. You work really hard, and you make a lot of sacrifices to save all your money. And, well, just imagine if you make a mistake. Bad investment choices, the wrong mortgage, incorrect insurance coverage. It's enough to keep anyone awake at night. So here are 2 pieces of advice to help you solve the problem. First, realize that most decisions can be changed. And second, it's not just you, it's we. You don't have to go it alone. Let us help you. You'll get our experience and our expertise. So call us at Edelman Financial Engines. It's one decision you don't have to overthink. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
7:22 Saturday morning update, WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We've been keeping an eye on the situation in California. 7.1 magnitude earthquake hit there last night, about 8:19 Pacific time, 11:19 Eastern time. 7.1 now, it's at Ridgecrest. That's about 130 miles north of Los Angeles, about 150 miles west of Las Vegas. At 2 a.m. Eastern time, they held a press conference. This is Dr. Lucy Jones. She's a seismologist with Caltech. And we played this earlier to start the show off. But if you missed that, I wanted you to hear this, because in this update that she's doing, she starts a press conference, and you'll hear the alarms go off for an aftershock, and she'll be referencing an aftershock that they're experiencing during her press conference.
A bit of a summary on tonight's earthquake. Of course, we had a magnitude 7.1. It is part of the ongoing sequence that we're calling Searles Valley. So it's strongly affected both Ridgecrest and China Lake. The earthquake yesterday, the magnitude 6.4, we are now calling a foreshock because the 7.1 tonight is larger. That really is just a semantic distinction. We have a sequence of earthquakes, and we have a 4.8 aftershock that is just beginning and will be coming down here soon, but we shouldn't have any shaking. We should turn the sound off. Yeah. One thing we wanted to show you. Oh, the estimate is now up to 5. Maybe we will fill it. Let's see. If this is a 5, it will be our third aftershock of magnitude 5 or greater. We've also had. 17 magnitude 4s and over 70 magnitude 3s since the main shock happened. And we have the aftershock going. You know, this comes out as actually 5. It will be the third one above magnitude 5. And I just felt that.
And there are reports of injuries, fires due to broken gas lines, separations in a number of roads, including one that shifted 2 feet to the right. There's a break in the road, and it shifted horizontally, what they call a right lateral horizontal movement of the road. And, of course, it's only 4:24 in the morning in California, so there has not really been any opportunity to survey damage at this time. Urban search and rescue teams have been dispatched, hazmat units, and we'll keep you posted throughout the morning as we get more information on that 7.1 magnitude earthquake in California. 7:25 Saturday morning update, WMAL, and Joe Biden, of course, losing momentum after his debate performance, and he tried to correct that, spending a lengthy segment with Chris Cuomo on CNN, and did it at the end of the week, and just a couple of highlights from that. A lot of people were curious as to why Biden was not prepared for what Kamala Harris threw at him. Here's what he had to say.
Why didn't you fight it like this in the debate?
In 30 seconds?
Were you prepared for them to come after you?
I was prepared for them to come after me, but I wasn't prepared for the person coming at me the way she came at. She knew Bo. She knows me. But here's the deal. What I do know, and it's the good and the bad news, the American people think they know me, and they know me.
Well, here's what Kamala Harris had to say after he said that.
A part of the impetus of the conversation was the statements that the vice president made about his work with segregationists. And that was the subject of conversation for days at end. So, you know, if he and his team weren't prepared for the topic, I don't know what to say about that.
Well, I think there's a general consensus that Russia interfered with our 2016 election. Joe Biden was asked about it, and listen carefully to what he says about his watch and Obama's watch.
Look at what's happening with Putin. While Putin is trying to undo our elections, he is undoing elections in Europe. Look what's happened in Hungary. Look what's happened in Poland. Look what's happened in Moldova. Look what's happening. You think that would have happened on my watch or Barack's watch? You can't answer that, but I promise you it wouldn't have, and it didn't.
I promise you it wouldn't have happened on Barack's watch, and it didn't? Did you not hear about the Mueller report, Mr. Biden? Probably haven't had time to read it, but Mueller made it pretty clear.
There were multiple systematic efforts to interfere in our election. And that allegation deserves the attention of every American.
Well, you just heard Biden say that it wouldn't have happened on his watch, and it didn't happen on his watch. Robert Mueller begs to differ, and I have no idea where Biden's head was when he was coming up with that one. So where is he politically? Let's move on to where he is politically with the left and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So this is how Biden feels about sort of his positioning in the party.
I think Ocasio-Cortez is a brilliant, bright woman, but she won a primary. In the general election fights, who won? Mainstream Democrats who are very progressive on social issues and very strong on education, health care. Look, my North Star is the middle class. When the middle class does well, everybody does well. What I've seen around the country is the vast majority of Democrats are where I am on the issues. I mean, I wish I'd been labeled as moderate when I was running in Delaware back in the days when it was
80% of your party says it's center left.
No, I am center left.
Farther left is getting more attention.
No.
It's getting amplified.
It is. Look,
it's a disconnect.
Look, it's center left. That's where I am. Where it's not is way left.
Now, I'm not a voice analyst or expert, but the tone of his voice, to me, sounds very defensive. It sounds like he's on the run, and he is just very, very defensive and fighting back. And here's Cuomo asking him about whether he could handle Trump.
How can Democrats have confidence that you can take on the biggest and the baddest when you're having trouble sparring in party?
I don't think I'm having trouble sparring. It's how you want to spar. You walk behind me in a debate. Come here, man. No, you think you know me too well. I mean, the idea that I'd be intimidated by Donald Trump, he's the bully that I knew my whole life. He's the bully that I've always stood up to. He's the bully used to make fun when I was a kid in a stutter and I'd smack them in the mouth.
I remember Joe wanted to take him outside and have it out outside not too long ago. A while back, he said that. So that's Joe Biden on the defense. Well, President Trump was leaving the White House yesterday for Bedminster. He was out by the chopper, and he was asked about Biden's comments calling Trump a bully. Here's what Trump says.
I don't think I'm a bully at all. I just don't like being taken advantage of by other countries, by pharmaceutical companies, by all of the people that have taken advantage of this country.
All right. Well, there you have it. It's going to be a fascinating 2020, no matter who runs. It is now 7:29. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Heather Curtis has the news next and the latest on that Ridgecrest earthquake, that 7.1 on the Richter scale last night, happening around 8:19 Pacific time. Then we're back with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. We'll get the very latest on Iran, the situation there. There are developments overnight. Also, we'll talk to KT McFarland. It's all coming up.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. 105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. I'm Heather Curtis. A day after a 6.4 magnitude earthquake in Southern California, the state shakes again when a 7.1 magnitude quake happened last night in the same area. This one in Ridgecrest was the largest in SoCal in 20 years. This woman was in a hotel when it hit.
What we saw was massive. I mean, it was the first time I experienced something. I felt like the whole building was going to collapse.
The state's director of emergency services says there are significant reports of structure fires, mostly from gas leaks or gas line breaks throughout the city. There are multiple injuries, but no deaths reported at this point. The governor's declared a state of emergency. More than a dozen people are injured in a stampede in Chicago on the 4th of July when a private security officer mistook the sound of a firecracker for gunfire and told people to take cover. Chicago Police Chief Fred Waller.
Immediately, CPD, our federal partners and support resources, implemented an active shooter protocol and began searching the pier to investigate. In the end, there was never an active shooter, and no one was shot.
Waller says he finds no fault in how the situation was handled. School's out for summer, but some teachers in Utah are taking classes to learn how to use guns and tend to wounds if an active shooter opens fire in their schools. Utah law lets teachers with concealed carry permits bring their weapons to school. In sports, the Nats fell to the Royals 7-4. Anthony Rendon will skip the All-Star game to rest after injuries. The O's top the Jays 7-1, and the Clippers will be landing Kawhi Leonard as a free agent after they acquire Paul George from the Thunder in a massive trade for players and draft picks. Up next, traffic and weather.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
I was the tomato walking on two sticks. That's what they nicknamed me.
I get it. Walking into a weight loss clinic can be a lesson in humility. But not if you know that inside are non-judgmental, empathetic, professional EMP 180 client coaches focused on your goals.
My name is Chuck Cohen. I live in Gainesville, Virginia. I emailed EMP 180. That was on a Monday. And on Tuesday, I had my first appointment. The first weigh-in was a big deal for me. When you lose 8 pounds on that first weigh-in, I couldn't even believe it. Alisa was my mentor. I was a guy who needed a cheerleader. That's good motivation for me. I weighed 180 pounds. I'm down on my scale to 157. EMP made me feel good about looking forward to the summer and going to the beach and taking my shirt off. I'm pretty excited about that.
Set your first consult at EMP180.com or call 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. Financing's available. So are first responder, military, and teacher discounts. EMP 180 weight loss. Use it to lose it for life.
WMAL traffic and weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Virginia, watch for an accident now on eastbound 66 before the Fairfax County Parkway. That's exit 55, affecting the right lane and the right shoulder. Watch for a brief delay there. Now, we did have an accident southbound 95 at Dale City. That has been cleared in the earlier wreck northbound at Route 17 Warrington Road. That accident also cleared away. So far, traveling 395, not seeing any delays from Etzel Road to the 14th Street Bridge, and things are still looking good on the Beltway throughout Virginia and Maryland. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, scattered thunderstorms this afternoon and evening could lead to isolated flooding and damaging winds, a high in the low 90s. Right now, 78 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Hi, it's Michael Robinson. And you know what I love? I love kids, and I love helping kids excel in sports and in life. But for kids to excel and stay active, they have to take care of their feet. Yes, their feet. You see, many of the shoes that kids wear are bad for their feet. Cleats and other athletic shoes often have little or no arch support, and that makes it very hard on young feet. Believe me, as a former football player who suffered with foot pain, I know. One thing I also know is that the Good Feet Store can help. When I saw how much of a difference personally fit arch supports from the Good Feet Store made in my life, I immediately wished I had been fitted as a young athlete. If you love kids the way that I do, then do me a favor. Take them to the Good Feet Store and have them fitted for youth arch supports. Let's work from the ground up to keep these wonderful kids healthy and active. I want your kids to excel, and they can with arch supports from the Good Feet Store.
The Good Feet Store is located in Richmond, Newport News, Rockville, Maryland, and now open in Fairfax.
Saturday morning update. We are at 7:36. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, happy Independence Day weekend.
Hey, morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Well, the Iranian president, Hassan Rouhani, threatening to exceed the 3.67% level of uranium enrichment as early as tomorrow, says we will increase to whatever level we deem essential and whatever we want. First off, help us understand what exceeding the 3.67% level means in layman's terms.
First off, that was the agreed-upon limit. And what the world is concerned about and the treaty restricts them from doing is what was called weapons-grade enrichment. Weapons-grade is not easy to get to. I mean, we're talking about 90% enrichment required for weapons. So simply exceeding it doesn't mean they're going to have a stockpile tomorrow of weapons grade, but that was the whole idea, is that the limitations of the joint agreed upon framework essentially would prevent them from doing any sort of enrichment beyond a certain level, and by the way, prevented them from enriching anything beyond a certain amount. So, and then they turned over other things as part of the agreements, theoretically, which I'm not sure if we ever verified. So that's what's going on here. The Iranians basically are saying, we're going to abandon the agreement. We're going to do whatever we want, and because of that, that puts them on the path, at least in theory, to be able to put together a sufficient amount of weapons-grade plutonium or whatever nuclear fuel they choose to enrich.
So I'm going to assume that our intelligence and Israeli intelligence would know where their facilities are. If we were to go in and do a surgical strike, or if Israel were to go in and do a surgical strike, would that release radiation? I mean, is there a serious danger if we were to target the facility?
The answer is possibly. It depends on if it's a deep underground facility, which they basically simply seal off and collapse where everything would be buried underground, or if they catch something in the open. The likelihood, Rick, is that if they're actually a refinement facility, it's probably underground. During the time I was working this issue, the Iranians were essentially had learned lessons from the Russians on how to essentially bury things and keep them out of the sight of the prying eyes of the world. With that said, you really don't know. The other factor is very simply the thing that's always held back the United States is locations. I don't think anybody's completely convinced. We know everything about every location the Iranians have. So if you miss a few, then, you know, what does that mean? What could they do? And then obviously the third factor is what does this mean for retaliation, another expanded conflict with the Iranians? So the whole idea of precision strike and what could be done, I think, has rightfully been something that the United States has not chosen to do. I'm not for the idea of strikes at this time either. Again, the idea of exceeding their threshold and getting to weapons grade and having a mass of weapons available, they're just not there yet. And I'm not sure if military action would be the answer at this point anyway.
All right. I want to turn to a tweet from John Bolton, and he says, UK has detained the supertanker Grace E. Laden with Iranian oil bound for Syria in violation of EU sanctions. America and our allies will continue to prevent regimes in Tehran and Damascus from profiting off this illicit trade. There are reports that there were possibly weapons also on that tanker, and reports that Iran is demanding to have that tanker released. Does that ratchet the tensions, and you've got the UK involved in that?
Right, because that tanker, and plus the Saudis apparently are holding a tanker as well. The whole issue of Iranian skirting the sanctions has been something that the Obama administration completely ignored. And now, because the Iranians, Tehran itself, has been saying they're going to accede or have planned to completely, essentially, undermine the agreement, I think our allies, some of whom were very reluctant in the beginning to support our use of additional economic sanctions, are now coming around. And that's what we're seeing here. The seizure of this ship, the real targeting of countries who essentially pay Iran for its oil, are all things which are being very effective. And arguably, if you look at the current reporting, the Iranians are literally going crazy over the fact that the sanctions now are actually having an impact, and that's what they're demanding. Basically, they're demanding right now that that all these sanctions the United States has placed on them be removed as part of what they require for essentially some sort of a diplomatic process to go forward. And so that's where we're at, and that's why it's such an interesting and effective thing to start seizing oil tankers that are trying to sell Iran oil illegally.
Tony, I want to turn to the news reports this week of a fire aboard a Russian sub. Speculation in those reports that the Russians may have been targeting fiber optic lines beneath the sea. What do we know about what they may have been up to?
Well, I don't know what they were up to, but I can refer the audience to a book called Blind Man's Bluff. This was a book produced based on information about how our U.S. Navy did certain collection operations, undersea collection operations of fiber optic cable back during the Cold War. And so I suspect that if there's obviously technology and intelligence operations are ambivalent to the side. So if people figure out how to do stuff, they're going to do it. What is interesting, Rick, and I think people tend to not think about this, is that we live in a data-rich society. I mean, we have everybody I know has huge bandwidth on their phones, and we don't necessarily think of how does that move, that information move around the world. There are literally undersea cables that started being laid in the 90s that have been completely extensively put out. Much more data flows under undersea cables than through satellites now, and if you tap into that, you can get immense information about everything. And there's been reports that the Russians have been trying to figure out how to better target NATO countries and some of the things going on regarding these cables. So by the way, speaking of that, once you have access and map it all, just imagine, if you will, if they decided, some adversary decided to cut those cables all at the same time. You could see an outage the world has never known. But that's what the Russians are probably trying to do. And obviously, they are out doing those sorts of things, just like any major player would be on the intelligence collection circuit.
All righty. I want to turn to President Trump's celebration on the 4th of July. The lead up, the media, the Democrats, all over him. Negativity as to how it was all about Trump and tanks in D.C. There were a total of two tanks, I think. There were two. And just a lot of upfront, you know, skepticism and sarcasm. What were your impressions on the event?
Well, look, I think it was an amazing tribute. And by the way, very inexpensive compared to other similar military events. If I don't even consider this a military event. Look, Rick, I've been to military displays of massive amounts of armor in other places, and to your point, two Bradley fighting vehicles and two M1 Abrams were on display, static display. Now, that resulted in people like Lawrence Tribe comparing this event to Tiananmen Square from 1989. That's how over-the-top and insane the left became. Now, I wasn't at Tiananmen Square, but I do recall the pictures of tanks rolling into the square and killing students. So any sort of comparison is completely unhinged. It was a very respectful celebration. A lot of people showed up. And I think I don't remember him saying one time during his speech, I think it was all about a tribute to the nation and to what makes this nation strong. So I don't know what to say other than good on you, Mr. President, for respecting and showing an amazing love for the military. And it was a great tribute.
Yeah, there was no mention of the borders. There was no mention of the stock market.
No.
It was not the campaign speech that everybody thought he was going to do. So,
and it just shows again that the left and some of the folks who hate this country for whatever reason will not look at the facts. They simply want to have an emotional reaction. And again, Rick, if you just look at the pure way the displays were set up and what was said, it was all about celebrating the birth of our country.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, couldn't have been said better. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Rick.
You betcha. 7:45, Saturday morning updates, WMAL. KT McFarland coming up next, but first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
An accident on eastbound 66 before the Fairfax County Parkway moved to the right shoulder, and so far looks like traffic still moves at a good pace from Centerville heading towards the Beltway. Now, there is some debris reported in the roadway eastbound on 66 after Glebe Road, so use some caution there. All earlier accidents on 95, the one southbound at Dale City and the one northbound at 17, all cleared away. And traveling in Maryland so far, things are still looking good on the Beltway, and 270 looks good from Germantown headed towards the Capitol Beltway. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We have a pretty good chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, and we're expecting a high temperature today of 91. We've got about a 50-50 chance of rain for Sunday. Expect the highs tomorrow of 85. Clouds on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Some sunshine Tuesday afternoon, but otherwise basically cloudy. High temperatures 84 on Monday, 87 on Tuesday, and 89 on Wednesday. 77 now, we're heading to 91. 7:46 on the Saturday morning update.
Congratulations to Greg Smith, Simon Hamilton, and Chris Ame. They've done it again. Forbes has named them to their Best in State Wealth Advisors list. You can hear their insights and advice every Sunday morning on the Wise Investor Show from 9 to 10 a.m. on WMAL Radio. Now, Forbes and Barron's have both put their trust in the Wise Investor Group by naming their advisors among the very best. You should, too. So be a wise investor. Stay connected and stay informed. The Wise Investor Group is affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, member SIPC.
Your Xfinity home security system can't walk the dog, but it can tell you what he does while you're not around. With live video monitoring you can access from anywhere, it won't stop you from hitting your shins on things in the dark. But it can switch on the lights for you. And it can't stop your kids from sneaking out. But it can give you real-time alerts when doors or windows are opened after curfew. It can't make you a better cook either. But with professionally monitored smoke detectors, Xfinity gets alerted if things get out of hand. No matter what you're doing around the house, Xfinity Home can help. And no matter what happens, know you've got 24/7 professional monitoring from the pros at Xfinity backing you up. Basically, you handle the home, we'll handle the security. Xfinity Home gives you a new way to customize your home security. Call 1-800-XFINITY or go to Xfinity.com/home security. Demo at your local Xfinity store. No long-term service contract required. Xfinity Home. Simple, easy, awesome. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
The lowest fee in real estate is coming soon to Washington, D.C. There's no longer any reason to pay 6% to sell your home. Introducing Rex. Rex sells homes for the lowest fee in the industry. 2% total, saving thousands of dollars per transaction. With Rex, you get a full-service team backed by technology. They don't market homes the way traditional agents do. Rex uses advanced digital marketing tactics to directly target hundreds of qualified buyers to your home the moment it goes on the market. And Rex charges only 2% total, not the 6% commission your local broker expects. Get started now by calling 833-REX-HOME. That's 833-REX-HOME. Since 2015, Rex has saved homeowners millions of dollars in fees across California, Texas, New York, and Colorado. Now it's your time, Washington, D.C., to sign on for a simplified and cost savings approach to buying or selling a home. To get started, call now at 833-REX-HOME. That's 833-REX-HOME. Rex Real Estate Exchange Incorporated.
Is your will updated? And do you have a good basic estate plan in place so your family is protected, just in case? Listen this Saturday morning at 9 on WMAL to Legally Speaking, where attorney Mike Collins will answer any question you may have about wills or estate planning. That's Legally Speaking, Saturday at 9. To learn more, log on to WMAL.com and search Legally Speaking. That's WMAL.com. Search Legally Speaking.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
7:50, Saturday morning update for Independence Day weekend. And we are joined by KT McFarland. She has dedicated her career to public service from her work early on with Henry Kissinger, working also with Caspar Weinberger in the Reagan administration, and of course, most recently, Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration. KT, it's an honor to have you with us this morning.
Happy 4th of July.
Absolutely. Well, it was last Sunday morning, very early in the morning, and I happened to be up. And I had the television on, and there was the meeting at the DMZ. I watched the whole thing into the wee hours of the morning as President Trump took that giant step into North Korea. And a gutsy move on his part. You could see the tension because it was put together, you know, pretty much at the last minute. Probably not a lot of protocol time to get that one prepared, and it was tense, but it was fascinating. It was history. And as we look back a week later, what does it mean for the development of the trust of Kim Jong-un, which seems to be so important for him to give up his nuclear weapons?
Look, I've always, you know, you and I have talked before about leverage, and I've always believed in using leverage, economic, political, diplomatic, moral, if you have it. And if you don't have leverage, go get some. So here's the plan. The beginning of the Trump administration, I led the policy review and the policy recommendations, which was to have slowly escalating tightening of the screws. There were no good options left on North Korea. They'd already been tried, and they had failed. So you could have a few more economic, political, military, moral sanctions and punishments, and you just slowly turn up the dial until you got some reaction. Well, we've got a little reaction, but not enough. So I think what Trump has done, and I want to point out I'm not speaking for him, but I think what he's done is brilliant. Because in the past, every president has said to Kim and Kim's father before him, look, if you stop your nuclear program, we'll shower you with peace and prosperity and respect. But it never worked because it isn't tangible to them. And it isn't tangible to the current Kim. He doesn't care about providing for his people. It's all about him staying in power. So with Kim, it was always going to be personal. He's a brutal dictator. I think what Trump has done is he's maneuvered Kim into the perfect place. He's continued to tighten those screws around their economy. But unlike most presidents, Trump hasn't loosened them. But he's also given Kim what he's craved, which is a taste of the high life. You see Kim in Singapore, in Vietnam. He's in the world headlines. He's treated with respect by world leaders. He's met with Trump. He's met with the South Korean president. And you can see from the pictures that Kim is loving every minute of this. He's beaming.
It's like a kid in a candy shop.
It's like a kid in a candy shop. He's finally gotten some respect. But Trump can pull that rug out from under Kim in a minute if he doesn't deliver. Trump can walk away and he'll say, I tried, but he's a little rocket man. But Kim is then forced to going back to being king of a hermit kingdom instead of palling around with world leaders. Now, I think that's leverage, and I think that's leverage that gets to Kim where it hurts. It's his self-respect. And that's going to be far more effective in the end than all the other stuff.
So does Kim Jong-un have the ability to pretty much rule over his military leadership, or do they really rule over him in a way?
Well, that was always the question initially, because he was younger than a whole lot of them, and he inherited a lot of the military leaders from his father when the father died at a pretty young age. But I think Kim has established his control over them. But in the end of the day, if there's a movement, and the world has seen Kim, and he's seen that Kim personally stands in the way of delivering all the goodies to everybody in North Korea, maybe, just maybe, his leaders, his military cadre, could rise up in a coup. I think it's far more likely, however, that the way to Kim's heart is through his ego.
Let's turn to Iran. The Iranian President Hassan Rouhani threatening to exceed that 3.67% level of uranium enrichment that could start as early as tomorrow. We talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer about sort of the military side of it, but I want to talk with you about the geopolitical side of it. What happens next? Interesting headline in the Financial Times. Frustration builds in Hassan Rouhani's hometown. Iranians voice disquiet in President's stronghold as sanctions bite and food prices rise. What's going on in Iran?
Well, I think with Iran, time is on our side. Consider these facts. Number one, their GDP contracted by 6%, and their inflation is running at 50% so far this year, and that was before Trump's latest round of sanctions. 70% of their population is under the age of 35, and amazingly, they're pro-West, and they even like Americans. Number two, the Iran nuclear deal never delivered the prosperity that Iran's leaders promised. Even the Ayatollahs trying to blame all this on the president and foreign minister of Iran, and that's a sure sign that there's trouble brewing at home. And then finally, we don't need their oil. Thanks to Trump and his energy policy, we're now an energy exporter. The fact that we could even replace the Middle East as the world's largest energy supplier is in fact within sight. And Trump's not going to go to war with Iran so other countries can get their oil through the Gulf of Strait of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf. And then finally, the Iranians are a very proud people, and they feel they've been humiliated. They need to get their macho back. They've done that in the last month or so. They've shot down a drone. They've attacked Japanese ships in the Gulf of Oman. They're now threatening British ships, and they're always talking about how terrible America is and how they're better than America. Anyway, Trump has not been lured into fighting back. In fact, he keeps saying, let's go to the negotiating table, let's do a deal. So, let's review. Iran's got their macho back. They're hurting economically. They may have a political domestic problem with a population that isn't happy and has taken to the streets before. So, time is on our side. Iran is running out of time. I think Trump should sit tight. They may need another one or two more macho provocations to get their macho back even more. But eventually, Iran has to come to the table, either this regime or the one that replaces it.
We've got about a minute and a half left, and I wanted to get your perspectives on the President's 4th of July event. I've been spending a lot of time on it this morning because of all of the criticism in the lead-up from the media and the Democrats and the protesters. But what was your take on how it all played out?
Well, the Trump-hating Washington media and the Democrats, and they're often the same thing, they've twisted themselves into pretzels trying to explain why Trump's 4th of July celebration, which highlighted American innovation, gave thanks to the armed forces, and reminded us of American greatness, they've tried to explain how that's all bad. You know, I think if you've got it, you flaunt it. So the best they could come up with was that Trump should not have stood in the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, because that's where Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech. And Trump should not have done this 4th of July celebration because it made him look like a strong and decisive leader and commander-in-chief a year and a half before the elections, and that's like interfering with the elections. Look, viewers are looking at this stuff, and they're finally voting with their feet. CNN, MSNBC, their ratings are falling off a cliff. And so I think at the end of the day, the Washington press corps that hates Trump, the Democrats, the never-Trump Republicans, and everybody else who's been urging Trump to be removed from office one way or another, the people just aren't buying it. They're voting with their feet. They're leaving. You can't fool all the people all the time, to quote Lincoln.
And it's interesting to see the pundits on CNN and MSNBC now, sort of the infighting going on there, not about Trump, but about what's going on in the Democratic Party. So it is fascinating to watch. Wonderful to get your perspectives, and have a wonderful Independence Day weekend. Thank you very much, KT.
Thank you.
KT McFarland. Coming up on 8 o'clock, we'll have the news with Heather Curtis, get the very latest on the situation in California with that 7.1 earthquake last night about 11:19 Pacific time. That's coming up next on WMAL, then it's Garden Sense.
Set up your Amazon Echo to hear Chris Plant weekdays 9 to noon.
Okay, let's play that game.
For one-time setup, say, Alexa, enable WMAL skill. Then to listen, just say, Alexa, open WMAL.
This is fun stuff.
Details at WMAL.com.
Meet Abe and Shelley Abish of Abish Financial Services.
Your best offense, we believe, is having the best defense. If you are 5 years away before full retirement, be defensive in your retirement strategies. Think, how can I protect? How can I preserve? How can I maximize what I built to insulate myself from another 2008?
Find out more about Abish Financial Services Saturday afternoons at 2 here on WMAL and at RetirementKeyRadio.com.
WMAL FM Woodbridge, Washington. 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station where Washington comes to talk. News now.
WMAL.